What a privilege it is for us to gather as sinners, people who struggle with sin, to petition our eternal God and our merciful Father, knowing that He loves us and knowing that He has provided a way for us to be redeemed from sin through that precious blood which we just remembered, through that amazing sacrifice our Savior made for us so many years ago. And it's a grand, grand privilege for me to gather with You, to offer up that worship, and to sit alongside You as You say the things You have thus far, and the beautiful words and worship thus far. Very grateful, friend. Very grateful for this opportunity. And it's really good to see you. Good to be with you. I can see why my mom loves you so much. She does really love you. And I can tell you all love her. And that means the world to me. Dawned on me a while ago that, you know, I have the women that mean the most to me are all right here. Little Debbie's not here, but she means a lot to me. But my mom, my wife, and our daughter is here. And women, at least, who have such a profound impact on me. And I love them. And if you're visiting, I welcome you. And I encourage you to consider this place, because here's a group that obviously is wanting to do what's right, doing the Lord's will, who love one another. And that just seems so apparent to me. And so I really hope that as a visitor, you would really give this place good consideration. Good leadership, good teaching, good preacher, a lot of good things in play. And so I'm really honored to be with you, friends, and I thank you for this. And I've been asked by the elders to give a presentation, because the elders here have been very kind towards me the last several years in supporting me in going to do some preaching around the world, especially in Samoa. And this is an opportunity that has been life-changing for me. And I'm just very grateful for all those who have had a part. Many churches and brethren have helped me in this. And for the foreseeable future, I hope to continue doing this because of all the good that has been done and the good that can be done. And I've gone on four trips now, and it never fails that when somebody hears for the first time, going to Samoa, immediately, brethren, you know, think I'm talking about Somalia. And this is what people have in mind. They think I'm going to Africa. And they need the gospel. But I'm just not ready to go. That's not where I'm going. I'm not going to Somalia, but it still doesn't register. And so I found a way to finally help people understand exactly where I go. And this kind of clears up everything. That when people realize, okay, yeah, I'm going to that Girl Scout country, Samoa. Oh, that place. Yeah, that's where I go. Then it all becomes clear, because I needed that interpretation myself as well to relate. But it's in the South Pacific. And my mom, obviously, is from there. She can give you a whole lot more detail. But it's a five and a half hour flight from Hawaii headed toward New Zealand and Australia in that direction. So that's where you get to Samoa. And you have American Samoa and you have Western Samoa. And they're divided by the international date line. So right now, it's 11 o'clock-ish or so in Austin on a Sunday. Well, currently, in American Samoa, it is after 4 a.m. or 11:30 here, and so it's 4:30 there, Sunday morning. But in Western Samoa, across the date line, it's the same time on the clock there. It's in the 4 o'clock hour, but it's tomorrow. It's on Monday. And that is a bizarre thing, you know, when you go, and we do go to both places. And so, you know, I preach on a Sunday in Western Samoa. And we catch that Sunday evening, afternoon flight to American Samoa, which is just 40 miles away. So it's just a 30-minute flight. So I preach on a Sunday. 30 minutes later, it's Saturday. Get to do it all over. You know, and it's just really different. It really is. Of course, you know, there are challenges, but it's a real neat experience. And then, like I said, my mom is from there. And that's what got me there, obviously, because of the family there and because of our connection there. And so I'm very privileged and fortunate. And, you know, my mom, of course, was raised there, from there. But she obeyed the gospel when she moved to Texas, when we moved many, many years ago. And that is another fascinating story that has impressed me. And the one who helped teach her way back then in the early 70s was in Baytown, Texas, and he was preaching for the Fruit Lobet Church, Brother Keith Sharp, who's in Arkansas now. But he was one of the people who helped convert my mother. Well, he has been in close contact with our family, and then, of course, my brother Alan, which I believe was here as well recently for you. But Keith has been going, and so he got me to go with him, and then that kind of just siphoned, it just kind of got this thing flowing, and I've been going ever since. And I just went with him my first trip, and since then, the way we do this is he goes in the wintertime, and I go in the summertime to expand our efforts, and it's just a real compliment to everything that's being done. And so we go, and it was really something to see him, because it helped me so much. Because when you go there, after every sermon we have question and answer session, and anything can come up. And so you have to be ready, but he was just phenomenal at answering all these things, and so it just kind of helped me be prepared for that. But I get to go there, and whenever we go to Western Samoa, we have to get a hotel. In Americans, stay with my brother and his family. Western Samoa, we get a hotel, and this is the difficult scene I have to deal with every day when I go out the balcony of the hotel. You know, Paul talks about all these trials he went through, the beatings and all that. Come on, Paul. Look what I had to deal with, man. This is what I have to deal with, and these are the scenes I have to put up with in that part of the world. Because it reminds me a lot of what Hawaii must have looked like, at least Oahu, before it was modernized. Because now Oahu is just way too congested, and it just, to me, it just seems like the culture is disappearing from there. Well, Samoa seems to be untouched for the moment, you know, in a lot of places. And it's just a real beautiful place, and these are flowers that are grown there on the property there at the hotel. The hotel's, it's a nice hotel. It's clean. It's not modern, but it is clean. And there are some different, I mean, I don't drink the water when I'm there, so, you know, you have to be prepared for things like that. But I don't have to have shots either. It's not that, you know, desperate in those conditions. But I've been able to go, and so every trip since I went with Keith, I've been taking, each time I've been taking my children with me to help. And one year, my daughter, who was here, was able to go and help teach the women, which you'll see is very critical to the work there. And then another year, I was able to take one of my sons, and he was able to help doing the preaching. And he's at Florida College right now in his third year. And then this last trip, I was able to take my other son, our youngest son, and he is also at Florida College in his first year. But without, you know, and I know that they would tell you this, that without question, it is a growing experience for them. Because, like I said, you see first, really what happens is the New Testament comes to life in scenes like this. Because you see firsthand people who are hungry for the truth and what it takes to actually break down the Word of God and to spoon feed, you know, in some cases, to give it the very basics with people and then, you know, being ready for all other types of questions, like I said. But it's been a very good growing experience for them because, you know, they help me teach, obviously, and they see what types of things we have to deal with, you know, and the challenges of sharing the gospel. And it's just a grand privilege to be able to do that. And like I said, I hope to keep going for the foreseeable future. Next trip, Lord willing, I hope to take my wife, and she's going to help be teaching the women as well. And it's just a good work thus far. And really, here is why it is, it's really possible at the moment. This is my brother Alex and his wife, Gwenna. I'm pretty sure you met him. But they're there in American Samoa, and they're working with the church there in Leone. And then they go to Western Samoa throughout the year to help, you know, water the things that have been planted there and nurture the efforts taking place there. And so for years, he's been there. He serves as our translator because you do have many people who speak English, but you have many who do not. And so you need translation. He can speak the language. He can, And not only can he can translate it into the ideas that are trying to be communicated in explaining the Bible. So that's very critical as well. And he loved the truth. So I know the truth is being taught when he's doing the translation. So he's there, and his wife is very important. And for so many years, my brother David, who lives here now in Austin, attends Georgetown, he and his wife and family were there, and they were very instrumental in helping the church there in American Samoa, Leone, get off the ground. So I'm indebted to them for their efforts as well, because through their influence, especially, you had the conversion of this one woman in Western Samoa, Sister Tui. Now, my brother David had a remodeling business, and one of his co-workers was converted. That co-worker taught his wife, or they taught his wife, and then they took it to Western Samoa to teach her mom. Well, the mom is Sister Tui. And Sister Tui is a living example of Liddy. She is a businesswoman. She's a godly woman, a person of authority in her community. And she's a person who is just ready to be used and be spent in service to the Lord. And she is a person that we rely on for so many leads in Western Samoa. And it's not just her, though. Rowena, my brother's wife, Alex's wife, is she is just doing so much for the efforts there because of her knowledge, her humility, and the influence, the impact they're having on people there. And I share this next picture with you to show. This is from a first trip there. But this is a girl who is there in Western Samoa. And just to show you the influence Rowena's having on those women there, that this girl named her daughter after Rowena. And so that to me is very impressive, you know, because it shows just how much these people are, my family is helping people in this part of the world. But like I said, so much does hinge on Sister Tui. We meet in Sister Tui's house there in Western Samoa in Vimosa. And we rely on her. I mean, it never fails. Every time we go there, she has new people every year from the community there to here. And we're in her home, and it's not, you know, it's a very modest home. There's no air conditioning. So the windows are open and all that. We have to rent chairs to bring in to use. And it fluctuates. Like this past year, it was full, but the year before, that there were a couple nights where it was overflowing, where every seat was taken and people were standing outside to hear the word of God. And so that all goes back to her and her influence in that community, and of course her love for the Lord and how she is willing to use her resources to do the Lord's work. And we do that. And like I said, this is not all the women. This is just a picture of some of the women. The women will study throughout the week, and they'll have classes. And Rowena has ingrained in these women a respect for God's word and his authority. And in fact, that's one thing that Sister Tui is very cautious about, is that she does not want to violate God's will, and especially respecting the differences God makes between the work of a woman and a man in teaching God's word, especially publicly. She respects the limitations God has placed on women, and she's very mindful of that. But the women as a whole, I just cannot praise Rowena enough for the regular studies. She'll have studies with women. We'll have studies with the men, some men, and then we'll have lessons at night, and the lessons can just go on. Not because I can't get my act together, they just need to go on because people want to hear more. You know, and you don't have so many distractions there like we do in the States. And there are people there who are genuinely hungry to hear more of God's word. And obviously there's a lot of error there as well that has to be corrected. People ask me, okay, what's the dominant religion there? And it seems to be changing. To me right now, it seems to be you have the Mormon faith that is really developing in that area, especially the South Pacific. You can see the influence there. And so you have to talk about things like the authority of God's word and inspiration and how it's complete. And there's no further revelation, which is broad in its application. These are things we talk about. And like I said, we'll have questions. We have a sermon, we have questions, and we'll have a break. Then we'll have another sermon, more questions. And so it's just a really grand thing to be allowed to see this. And without fail, you'll have people who are sincere and want to obey the gospel. And every trip, except this last one, don't believe we had any. But every trip we would have many people who want to be baptized throughout the week. And this was one particular night where we had at least these four souls came forward at night. And two of them spoke English. And so what would happen is obviously we'd make sure they understood the gospel. And people would go out to obey the gospel at various hours of the day. Let me get to this picture here first. This is a picture of a woman who's obeying the gospel who works with Sister Tui. Okay, so there's the relation there. But she wanted to obey the gospel, and this was early in the morning, one morning. And we had already had a night session the night before. It was late. Sister Tui took us to the hotel. Sister Tui got up early, picked us all up. You know, I mean, she was already involved like that. But here's an example of somebody obeying it bright and early in the morning. And then, of course, like I said, those people came forward that night, and there we are at night. My brother's there having to translate, making sure, because I always want to make sure people understand what they're doing and obeying the gospel. And so we're clear on that. But we're there, and we have to go practice this in the ocean, that there is no baptistry there. And so we go to the ocean, and this ocean, unlike anything I've seen, it's amazing. The water is just so clear. And I guess the closest thing I can compare it to is, you know, you fill your bathtub and you look down, it's just crystal clear. Well, that's what this is like. Okay, you're standing in this body of water, and it's just clear. It's amazing. Just the beauty that is there. But you can have this happen at any time of the day. Like I said, that one lady was baptized in the morning. Here's another scene after a baptism. This is early in the morning. So, this, you know, the sun's coming up and somebody's obeying the gospel. I mean, they're literally giving their life to God at the start of the day. It's a beautiful. But so many things are happening, can happen too. When my daughter went with us, a brother there had just started a program in the schools there in Western Samoa and Vimosa. In Western Samoa. And he was starting a program where he would go in and talk to people about God and talk to the young people about God. And he wanted my daughter to come in and give the perspective of a young Christian and what to prepare for and going to college. And so she came in and was able to teach these people at their school one day and was able to talk about, you know, what it's like and the challenges. And then they had me say some things as well, but I didn't want to follow her because they were connecting with her. They were laughing and all that. And here comes the old guy and crickets in the room and all that. It was a disaster. But we had that opportunity. And you know, I think back, I mean, there's just no telling what could be planted in an opportunity like that. But that had developed that one year, and it was that same year, I believe, where we went to go visit on the other side of the island where my mom was raised in Mulifanua, and some of her family is still there, cousin and her family. And so I was able to meet these relatives for the first time. And they had heard about the things we were doing on the other side of the island, and they wanted us to come back and teach them. Well, we were already planning to leave, I think, either this day or the next. And so we had made plans to come back and have these lessons. Well, that's what we did this last trip. We went back, and we were able to go and meet in the home of this cousin of my mom. And this is just some of those who were there. And it was predominantly family and their children. Poor setting, you know, no money, not a lot of money, nothing like that. But just there, you know, there to hear the word and just the gentleness of the people and the humility. It's just a beautiful experience. And so we were there a couple of nights, and that's a door now, okay, that we'll start going through every trip from here on out, as long as they are willing and open. And two blocks from this house, you have a brand new Mormon church building. So, hey, there, even in the sticks, you have that influence there. So this is needed. It's needed for us to get out there and teach God's word and prepare people as much as we can for truth. But this is a beautiful, beautiful place. And this is literally across the street from their house. This is where my mom grew up, right here. This is the water, body of water that she played in. Whenever she dreamed of having a family and having an awesome son one day, this was where it all happened. This is where she had those thoughts, right there, that exact spot. Beautiful part of the world. Absolutely beautiful. But it's a great experience. I'm impressed with the fact that, like I said, it's the New Testament in living color, that one person can make a difference. One person. I mean, at so many levels. But you look at Lydia and how Lydia was a woman of God and how she was a certain woman who was a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. Okay, she loved God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And that's exactly what happened there at Philippi in Acts 16. In verse 40, they met in her house. That's Lydia to me. You know, that we're a woman of influence, a businesswoman, using her home. And what I love about Sister Dewey is that the son-in-law and the daughter who taught her the truth, I don't know if they are now, but they had fallen away. Okay, they were not faithful to the Lord. She's held on to her faith. I mean, she has stood and maintained her faith in the Lord, and I appreciate her for that and her zeal for the Lord. And I hope someday you get to meet her. She's just a fascinating woman. But I also learned the fact that people who love the truth will obey the gospel, and we have to be people who are brave enough and conscientious enough to share that. The whole truth. Share the truth, and the truth will do what it's designed to do. That it will appeal to the person it's intended to appeal to. But there's no reason for us to modify it. There's no reason for us to sugarcoat it, water it down, strip it down, and customize it for people. You don't have to. That if you teach the truth unvarnished, without any hesitation, it will reach the people it's intended to reach. And so we have to trust our God in that. And this has been brought to my attention very plainly when I met Makasui here, who I can now call Brother Matt. This is the most recent picture, or a picture from our most recent with he and his wife, who's also a Christian. Now, one of the trips there, Mac was there at the invitation of Sister Tui. He's a preacher at Assembly of God, had been for 20 years. Okay, his father's ranking in this faith there. Like a regional pastor or bishop. He's just ranking, okay, in that denomination. Well, here he is, son. He has his own church. Well, he shows up, okay? He's there all week. He starts hearing things he never heard before, you know, as far as the things we were showing from the Word of God. Long story short, okay, one night when he had encouraged some there to obey this gospel that was being taught, as they were gone, because not all of us could go, go in the van. So my son and some other people, and I think Alex went to go baptize the soul. Mac and I were talking, and he and I had developed a good friendship. And I said, "Mac, how did you become a Christian?" And he says, "Well, you know," he said, "I was literally the prodigal son. That I was in Hawaii, and my life had taken a tailspin, and so lost everything. I was feeding swine for a living." Okay, and he said, "I was in the pig pen, and I acknowledged Jesus as my Savior and acknowledged my sin, asked him into my heart. A week later, I was baptized, and I've been trying to live faithful." I said, "No, wait, Mac, did I hear that right?" I said, "Now, you said you were saved in the pig pen." He goes, "Yeah." "Did you ask him into your heart?" He goes, "Yeah." "And then a week later, you were baptized?" "Yeah." I said, "No, now, Mac, wait a minute. Is that what Jesus said?" And so I showed him, I said, "Look, Jesus said that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved." I said, "Right?" He goes, "Yeah, that's what I did." I said, "No, wait a minute. What you said is that he who believes is saved and then should be baptized." And there was just silence there. I said, "But Jesus said that he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Not he who believes is saved and then is baptized." I said, "So what do you think about that now? And he goes, I think I need to be baptized. I said, I think you're right. You know, and we can continue to talk about that. But it's not the act of baptism. Okay? You have to be baptized for the right reason. And we went to Acts 19, where Paul met with four disciples at Ephesus, there in Acts 19. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized? And they said, we haven't even heard it is the Holy Spirit. He said, well, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. And he said that John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And what that means there in Acts 19 and verse 4 is the baptism of John was from God for the remission of sins, but its design was to prepare people for the Messiah, for the Jews. And if they believed this, they would be baptized. But it was not intended to put a person in Christ. And so Paul wanted them to know that it led them to Christ, but it doesn't put you in Christ. And so in Acts chapter 19 and verse 5, people who were baptized already in the baptism of John, it says in verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had already been baptized, but they weren't baptized for the right reason. So just being baptized will not save you. You have to believe and be baptized to enter the body of Christ. Well, Max saw that, and he was sincere enough to obey that, and so we did, into the water. We're there in the water, and I told Mac, I said, look, because he and I are standing there. I said, Mac, listen, this does not mean this is the first day you love God. This does not mean it's the first day you believed in Him. You've been a servant of God for 20 years. You just haven't been in Christ. You haven't known the truth. And that this is what's going to put you in Christ. Do you understand that? Yes, I understand. And he said, it's just like the baptism of John. It doesn't put you in Christ. I said, that's right. And he goes, I appreciate you saying it. And so I said, do you believe with all your heart Jesus is the Son of God? I do. And then we baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for the remission of sins to enter the body of Christ. And he taught that to his wife, to his children, to his in-laws. And he's teaching it to other people. Now, there's other things he is gradually having to unlearn. And he has come out of the Assembly of God faith, which is tremendous. He's taken that stand. But friends, you and I cannot be ashamed of this truth. We cannot be scared of it. We just have to have faith in it. It's going to do. God's word does not come back void. It reaches the people it's supposed to reach. And so we can't let the devil talk us out of standing on solid ground, of sharing this. Don't be ashamed of it. This is what saves people. And so he heard that. He obeyed it. And it's a beautiful thing to see this firsthand. And it happens everywhere the truth is taught. I also see that love is the same in every language. That's true. That's been a blessing to go and see in this part of the world. I'm impressed with the fact that you have to have teaching. Listen, this was a good class this morning on reading, because it is highly, it is significant to worshiping God. But listen, the Bible is teaching here in Romans chapter 10 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But in the context of making that conclusion, Paul said, look, people cannot be saved unless they call on the name of the Lord. You have to have faith in Christ. Well, you can't get to that point unless you're taught. And you can't be taught unless somebody has the Word of God and is showing them it. Okay? So God has designed this in such a way that you cannot get to heaven apart from this Word, and you need somebody to teach it to, is the point. All right? So this has impressed me in all of this activity. It takes a man to teach a man. And God will open doors. And He will create opportunity for us. And He will give us the wisdom and skill to take advantage. So you need to keep doing this. People are not going to be saved here unless somebody's teaching. That's the point I'm trying to make. We have to be teachers of God's Word. So that's a grand opportunity. I'm thankful the Lord lets me see firsthand in West Samoa. And just a couple more minutes, I'm going to show you this. American Samoa. So we catch that flight. Go back to American Samoa, and this is the luxury liner you have to fly on if you're going to go between these two countries. And this is a picture of First and Coach together right there. And this is a challenge. And this is what scares me, not for me flying, but taking that white woman right there next year. I'm worried that My wife, that is, not that white woman, but my wife over there. my wife is, she can get dramatic. And I'm just little, I don't know what's going to happen, having the only hysterical woman on the plane. But this is how we're going to have to do it if we're going to Western Samoa. And it's not that bad, at least you don't have to take too long to die. You know, it's just a real short death. There's positive to it. But again, you're coming to a beautiful part of the world. American Samoa is made up of seven islands. The main island here, which is where we go to, Kukupila, 75 miles long. Top speed on the entire island, 25 miles an hour. Your hammer is down at 25 miles an hour. That's as fast as you can go on this island. It's 15 miles wide, 75 long, beautiful, beautiful part of it. And it's a picture just doesn't do it justice. You know how it is. You've seen places like this in our God's creation. And you don't have the beaches that Hawaii has, but you do have its beauty. But here's the church that we go to, the church at Leone, where my brother Alex is preaching and his family attends. And this is where they once attended in Leone. And this was back in the day. And the only reason I'm showing you this is because they were there. Okay, they arrived there in Leone, started meeting with a group there, my brothers and their family. And as they were there, they eventually realized that the church there was being overseen by church in the state. Okay, and there are many churches of Christ like that over there. The missionaries doing a good job teaching God's word. Unfortunately, they're teaching man-made concepts of the church as well. And so this is one of them. So the church there at Leone was being overseen by elders in Georgia, in the state. Well, they began speaking out, Brother Alex especially speaking out. Well, a missionary there led a campaign to get my brother marked and avoided. And so he went to former members, had 12-year-old boys, all kinds of signatures on this withdrawal. And so they successfully marked my brother Alex. Well, the problem was that the building rested on property that belonged to the family. Now, my brothers obviously have a different father, same mother. Long story. Anyway, their relatives owned that property. They weren't going anywhere. Well, the people who didn't want to be part of this group, they picked up and left and only left my brother and his family and then one other family, and this other group took the treasury with them. Okay, so they left. Well, one day, my brothers come to the building, and this is what it looked like. That one of the disgruntled members who left decided that he was going to solve this problem by burning down the building. Well, what would have happened there? Well, as providence would have it, my brothers had relatives who had other properties. Talk about the hand of God. This property was across a school building, and it was a place that had been neglected for years, a place that the community hated how it was being used. And so they obtained this property, and they were able to go through and renovate this property, working together, and were able to clean it up. And this is what it looks like now. And when they started in 09, like I said, they had just their immediate families with them and one other family. And a few years ago, this is what it looked like on one of the trips there. Now, obviously, it's like every other place. I mean, numbers are up and down. But you have a good foothold there in the community that's being done by my brother Alex and his family, or continued at least, and cannot say enough about that. But I share that with you to remind us of this quick point, that is, God's pattern is local. That he wants elders in every church, qualified men, but he wants them only in that particular church. Okay, let us avoid this business of overseeing other churches. It's not God's will. 1 Peter chapter 5, shepherd the flock among you. Okay, so that's significant. We need to respect it. And that's something that has been brought to my attention in going into this part of the world. And so I thought that was important to always know in sharing this report. We could go on and on, but that's enough right now. So I appreciate so much your kind attention. Every time we go, and after every lesson, I show this slide. And my brothers, of course, translated, but this is the plan of salvation. It has the books of the Bible, but it has them in the Samoan tongue. But here's it's the message. that matter. Okay? And the message is this. If you're dealing with guilt, okay, and we all have sinned and fallen short, and we've all faced guilt, okay? If you're dealing with guilt right now, God has provided a remedy to have that removed, of that sin being removed no longer against you, to where Jesus said, it's like you're starting all over. You're being born again. You're just starting brand new in your relationship with God. And if you understand, that's what God's offering through the blood of Christ. That's why we remember it like we do. Then you have to come in contact. If that appeals to you, then you should want to come in contact with that blood. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, unless you believe I'm He, you will die in your sins. Jesus wants us to have faith that He's God's Son. Well, you can reach that point. Anybody can. Look at all the miracles He did. He came back from the dead. You can believe He's God's Son. That is not that hard of a thing to overcome. If you believe He's God's Son and you are willing to obey Him, all right, it's not enough to call Him Lord, Lord. You have to do what He says. And He says, well, turn away from sin, right? Repent. Put away the sin that separates you from God. If you're willing to do that and confess that faith, Romans 10, 9 and 10, all right, you do that for the remission of sins. You must be willing to do all that He says. And He says that we also should be willing to be baptized. And so if you haven't been baptized, you're not in Christ. You're not. You may have done everything so far. Well, that's great. But unless you are baptized in water for the remission of sins, you're not in Christ yet. You're still standing outside the ark. You've got to get in the ark. And the only way to get in the ark is by obeying that baptism which places you in Him. Galatians 3:27. When you come up, and He says that you are raised to newness of life. You start all over. Your sins are washed. The guilt's gone. You're brand new. That's beautiful. That's a beautiful message. And so if you haven't done that, you have an opportunity to do this. If you want to do it privately, Danny would love to do this with you privately. Or if you have done that and yet have gone back into sin and have guilt, repent. Okay? Repent. Repent of those sins. Put them away. Confess your sins to the Lord. You don't have to be baptized again, but you do have to confess and you have to pray. And there is no reason in this world, there's no reason every one of us should not leave this room saved and right with God. So if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, please respond.